Whenever I get in a funk, I just remember that line. Christ has regarded my helpless estate and shed His own blood for my soul. And that never fails to lift my spirits. The gospel, pure and plain and simple, pure and beautiful. That's what we need. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. We'll consider tonight just one verse. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Tonight we're going to examine saving faith. There are a few things I would like for us to consider from this verse. One, that saving faith rests on knowledge. Rests on knowledge. Second, that faith has an object. We put our faith in something. Third, that there are no supplements required for faith in our Lord. And then, no degree of strength of faith is required. First, we will consider faith. Everybody lives by faith in a very general sense. That is, that the roof on your house is not going to cave in on you when you're sleeping. That's faith in the general sense. We have faith that the construction workers, or yourself, or whoever, put that roof up in a way so that it's going to stay up. That when you turn the ignition in your car, that it's going to start up and not start a fire. If you bring it to Mr. Connolly, you're going to have to reduce that chance significantly of that happening. But we have general faith in these things. That's general faith. Tonight we're going to look at saving faith. Saving faith in Christ our Lord. The faith that saves. That's what I mean when I refer to saving faith. The Greek word pisteuo means I believe. That's the word that's translated faith. Many times in the New Testament, it's a verb, I believe. And John Frame, about the grammar, says that believe, that's the verb form of faith. And faith is the noun form of believe. So when referring to faith, we are referring to what we believe in, who we believe in, what we believe about the one we believe in. Again, the knowledge and the object. It's part of our faith. And it's biblically, faith is a personal confiding in Jesus Christ to save our souls. And this is built on knowledge. And it's there in our verse in Romans. The knowledge that it's built on is that God justifieth the ungodly. Comes to God must believe that He is, that He's the reward of those that diligently seek Him. Faith is not some wild guess at something. It's not an intense hope that something is true. Faith, some people like to say, it's opposed to reason. It's not. Our faith rests on evidence. The evidence of God's character and faithfulness as revealed to us in His Word. They show us that we can trust Him. Jesus asks the question in the New Testament many times, why did you doubt? You have little faith. Have faith. Don't doubt. Have faith. Many times this pops up pops out of the mouth of our Savior concerning those of little faith. Why would we doubt the clearest thing in history, that God does all things for good, that He has been moving to redeem His world, to save Himself, a people? So Jesus says, why doubt? God has made a way of salvation. But faith, it must be noted, is more than just acknowledging some facts. It's absolutely possible to believe that Jesus really lived, and to believe that He really said and did all that the Bible says He did, including His death, burial, and resurrection, without realizing the implication of all that for my own life. In other words, they may believe in the historical person of Jesus. They may believe some things about Him. They may pick and choose what they like to believe about Him, leave the rest. That's not saving faith. There must be a trusting in what God has said about Jesus' life, believing all that the Scriptures, which is the Word of God to us, say about Jesus Christ and His life. And there must be understanding that He's right when He says, I'm ungodly. There must be a realization that I am ungodly before I will see that I need faith. So only the ungodly need apply for saving faith. Within saving faith, there's the knowledge of the facts. We hear of them, through the many mediums. Then there's assent to the facts. I believe that these facts are true. And then there's a deep and personal confiding in the facts. That third one is what we would call saving faith. It is built on knowledge that God justifies the ungodly. The demons have knowledge of God. You believe that God is one, so do the demons, and they tremble. But they don't have saving faith. They knew that Jesus was the Son of God. It didn't save them. So how much less are these people who do not think that Jesus is the Son of God, very God, how much less are they going to be spared than the demons? Wayne Grudem says that saving faith is not just a belief in facts, but a personal trust in Jesus to save me. We must know what God's Word says, for it informs us about the only object of saving faith. That's Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Saving faith is trust in a person. The person of Jesus Christ, that He is who He says He is, that what He says He's done is true and is applicable to me. That person, Jesus Christ, is the object of our faith. So it's built on knowledge. Jesus Christ justifies the ungodly, those who are not like Him. He justifies to make like Him. He's the object of our faith, the second one. The second thing in this verse, Christ is the sole object of our faith. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly. Christ is the object of our faith. It's not just the belief that God will save me somehow. I'm hoping that God will save me somehow, that I've picked the right religion from a hat full, and that God's going to respect that. No. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. That's exclusivity. That's the definite, that's the article there that tells us He is the definite way, the only way. It's a very exclusive statement that Jesus makes. It's a faith in Jesus Christ. He's the object of our faith. He's who we look to with the eyes of faith to save us. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we're ever in a state of doubt about our faith, am I really believing or not? We have only to return to His Word to read about the Word made flesh and of His great atonement paid on the cross, and be assured once more of His great love for us, for His sinners. And of His zeal for His Father's glory and of the Father's devotion to reward His Son for all of His sufferings. Our assurance of faith is that we are today, right now, trusting in the immutable, unchanging Word, capital W, Word made flesh, of the immutable, unchanging God. For assurance of faith, we don't look back to the sincerity of the time when we supposedly believed in the gospel for the first time. We don't have to go back with some kind of meter and say, well, was I really sincere enough? Did I say all the right words in that little prayer? No, the assurance of our faith is, are you believing it now? Are you believing it today? Are you taking hold of the promises of God tightly? Are you clinging to Christ and Christ alone? That's the assurance of our faith. That God has said here in Romans 4:5 that He justifies the ungodly. Are we taking this by faith and holding tight to it? That's the assurance of our faith, that God has given us this Word and that He's not deceived us, that we're believing this today. Thirdly, that there's no supplements. The first part of that verse. But to him that worketh not, to him that worketh not, but believeth. In other words, instead of working, believing. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, the one believing, is counted for righteousness. No, there's no supplements. It's not faith plus anything, and you're saved. It's faith and faith alone. It's faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Get the order right. It's faith alone that saves. This, him that worketh not, that refers to all that we would do in the hope of appeasing God. Anything we would do to make God proud of us, happy with us, to try to earn His favor, to impress God. That's filed under this works. To him that worketh not, to him that abandons that mindset, to him that puts off all hope of appeasing God by his performance on his earth, on this earth. To him that worketh not. That's true. That's definitely true that saving faith produces good works. James, the brother of our Lord, the biological brother of our Lord, dealt with that in his epistle. Saving faith does produce good works. Saving faith is not in any way the result of good works. We're not assured of our faith because we've done enough works. No, our faith, our good works are fruit of an active and lively faith. But our good works are not the same thing as our faith. Faith is a gift from God that cometh by hearing the Word of God. It's no more earned than justification. It's a gift. We must cry, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. It must be our cry for this gift. And let none charge God with their own condemnation because He failed to give them any necessary thing. That's what I read the little portion from John Angell James before the message. We don't charge God and say, well, you know, He's really powerful. I'm kind of scared and timid and I really don't feel worthy to come into His presence. So He bids you come. He says, all that come to me I will in no wise cast out. He now calls me everywhere to repent and believe. None will perish because God failed to impart faith to them. They will perish for their failure to obey Him, to repent and believe. Because they kept up working for God in order for Him to confer salvation on them for their works. Trying to make an exchange, trying to barter with God. So we cry out to Him to save us. There's nothing we add. We look back to Calvary and we trust that my every sin on Christ was laid. That, Lord, that's my substitute. I don't want to stand before You without Him. I don't want to come to You except through Him. That Christ paid it all. God will not require further payment from me. If Christ paid for our sins, God can't charge any one of them to us. This is the faith that the just live by. Habakkuk 2:4. Great verse of the Reformation. The reason it is that faith alone saves, and apart from everything we would do, it's faith alone that saves, nothing we do, is because only faith alone gives glory to God alone. God provided everything we need for our salvation so that He alone will be glorified for our salvation. Faith is everything God requires because it's nothing, because it comes to God. And we cling to the cross. We cast aside our filthy rags. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Lord, I don't have anything. I need you for everything. And I believe you can provide it. That's the essence of faith. Think of it this way. This is not my own illustration. I don't know whose exactly it is, but I like it. I like it a lot. The faith alone is like an empty hand that reaches out, and God's hand of grace alone clasps it. It's nothing. It's an empty hand extended. God, I'm drowning. Save me. God, I'm dying. Save me. Faith alone. And with an accurate knowledge of who Christ is, knowledge, the first one, and an abandonment of all hope and even the slightest of our efforts in hoping to save ourselves, we can be assured. The strength of faith, it's the thing that's not mentioned here in the text. Perhaps this is an argument from silence, but I did want to make a mention of the strength of faith. Because, I don't know about you, but sometimes I wake up one morning or throughout the course of the day some days, and I feel like I've sinned my way out of God's love. And I feel like, okay, this is it. I'm that one He's ready to kick to the curb. And that somehow He's so displeased with me that He's ready to just abandon me altogether. As if my performance was meriting His favor the whole time. We're back to faith alone. And must come to the realization that God loved us at our darkest. And He's not going to abandon us now. Romans 5:8. When we were yet dead in our, we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us when we were His enemies. And even when our emotions do go crazy, and we do start to ask ourselves, was I really sincere? Did I really believe enough? Try to quantify things. When our emotions go crazy, the object of our faith remains the same. Like I said earlier, He's the same yesterday, today, forever. And saving faith, that empty hand of saving faith, though it be weak, if it lays hold of Christ's hand of grace, His grip is strong, and it's not going to let us go. It's the object of our faith, not the strength of our faith, that saves. Knowledge of God, yes, number one, will increase our faith. But even the most frail and weak and trembling sinner who has a genuine saving faith in Christ will be saved to the uttermost. There is a good example that Paul Washer gives about a bridge. I heard it a while back. I'm going to modify it because I don't remember exactly how he said it. But you've got this chasm. You've got this chasm between God and man. And man is separated from God, cut off from God, alienated from Him because of his sin and rebellion. And God made a way through Christ, a bridge across that chasm. And it's, we'll use, think terms we can understand. It's loaded with tons of rebar, and it's the best grade concrete, and this bridge, it's earthquake proof. It's best quality bridge you could ever hope for. And yet some people are trying to get a running start and jump across that chasm in their own strength. And it doesn't matter how much effort you put into running to jump across that chasm, you're going to come short. Because the chasm is simply too big for you to make in your own effort. Nobody can make it in their own effort. But that bridge is there, and even though one be very, very, very timid and very, very afraid and weak and frail, if they're on that bridge and they're walking, even if it's very, very slowly, they're going to get across and they're going to make it. Because it's the object of their faith that's supporting them and not the degree of the strength of their faith that's going to get them across. The faith that saves. When Jesus refers to those who have little faith, sometimes to his disciples, whether they're in a boat and the storm is going crazy around them, or they're looking for their next meal, Jesus says, why are you worried about these things? You know, classic passage in Matthew 6. You're worried about food, worried about your clothes. Like we just sang, his eyes on the sparrow. Are you not of more value than many sparrows? Your Heavenly Father's going to take care of you. If you're trusting your soul to Christ, and if your faith is in Him, why the little faith that He's going to take care of us on our pilgrimage in providing for food and clothes and calming the storm, our safety? Genuine faith. If you're trusting Christ with your soul, you can trust Him with lesser things. We exercise our faith even when it's as small as a mustard seed when we speak to mountains. This is faith in action. In the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, the word for faith is always a verb. No noun. It's a verb. It's active. It's living. It's vibrant. And real genuine faith, even the size of a mustard seed is sufficient to move a mountain. When it's real genuine faith, it's sufficient to move a mountain. Those with real faith should be speaking to mountains, things that don't look like they'll ever change. But if we take God on His word, say, Lord, He has saved my soul. What might happen to these other lost souls? And so we go to the mountain that seems immovable, the sinner that could not be more lost. And, you know, sight would say that's a big, immovable mountain. That thing's not moving. But faith, even the real genuine faith, even the size of a mustard seed, says, thus saith the Lord. To him that worketh not and believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And they're acting on saving, their saving faith. And our faith is increased as we prove Jesus over and over, says another hymn. All the ungodly souls, all those who are lost, who know they're ungodly. If you know you're ungodly, apply for saving faith. God requires no more to be saved than faith in His Son. And as long as we have that, we can be assured of our salvation. A few verses later in Romans 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you impart faith through your word. And I thank you for Christ, our sure foundation, our steadfast hope that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That we can go to Him, we can go to His Word, and Your glory shines forth there. I pray that You would grant the gift of faith to those who need it, to those who know they're ungodly. Lord, make us aware of our sin. Help us to exercise our faith. Pray, Lord, that You would keep us faithful for all of our days. Keep us from straying from the straight and narrow. Pray that You would bless us as we go out of this place, that we would do all things for Your glory and with a grateful heart. I pray in Your Son's name. Amen.